I'm glad to see each of you have made the effort to come out this day and certainly welcome you to the house of the Lord and those who are live streaming. And certainly I have anticipation of the message our brother is going to bring to us today. But before we get started with that, we've been asked to have a season of prayer this morning in behalf of a young man that most of us have probably prayed for before. Jake Kidd is Jenny's nephew and has struggled for some time with some mental health type issues and has done well the last several years, I think, but is in a bad place today and has been for a week or so now, to the point that he's pretty much just out of commission. I don't know the right words to say, but the medical community are out of options to help him. So I find this is when the Lord does his best work. So I'm going to ask that you kneel with me in a season of prayer for Jake, for those that are going to go today and administer to him. Two of our brethren there in Missouri are going to go and administer to him today, and we ask the Lord to pour his spirit out upon him, that whatever spirit or whatever illness or physical, emotional, spiritual problem that he's suffering from, that the Lord has set right, and he has the power to do it. And we just need to be faithful, and our brethren and the family would desire us to offer that prayer this day. So I'm going to ask that you kneel with me in prayer. I'm going to ask our brother Adam if he'd start us out in prayer. And full understanding.
come before thee, Lord, and be with us in the Jesus Christ. As we read the scriptures, he clearly shows us our divine and holy power. And we ask the Father to reach down and restore this young man and his wife, his senses, his mind, the health and well-being. Rebuke the oppression and the fear. We ask the Lord to lift the mighty works among the children of the community and the life of the great and many others. The children might be glorified. We humbly ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
Please continue to remember that need throughout this day and the needs of others. I know our sister Wanda's been struggling the last couple days as well. Certainly my pleasure now to introduce the speaker who needs no introduction. And I'm going to turn this service over to him now, our brother Gordon McCann.
Good morning. Good to see each one of you here. I'm always amazed when I'm able to stand and look out upon the audience and see all these young people. It thrills my heart and soul to see you and to be here, and I'm glad. Let me get this thing up. There's been some things on my heart and mind that I would like to present to you today. I struggled with it, and you'll see why when I start going, but I kept with it, filled with desire. That's an important aspect of our spiritual lives, is to be filled with desire. In the book of Psalms, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. So if you don't have any any function to have a desire to know the Lord, he's not going to give it to you. It's your choice. And so it's important to understand that concept, to be filled with desire. That didn't work. There it comes. Part of that desire is, I want to talk about this little book right here, the Book of Mormon. I have found, especially as a recorder, I'm the one that when someone's baptized, like Brother Caleb here, when he was baptized, I recorded his name in our book. Like you find in Moroni in the sixth chapter, your name is recorded that you might be remembered and keep in the good word of God. I'm also the one who, when someone doesn't want to be a part of the church anymore, I'm the one that gets the letters and the reasons why they don't want to be part of this church anymore. And it's to that end that my burden and my thoughts and have been kind of focused around this. And I want to be able to maybe lay a foundation like we sang the song this morning, Standing on the Promises. There are promises that we can stand on that Jesus Christ brought to us. Here at the Book of Mormon, I looked up online. I just wanted to see what maybe some other people might thought about if they had a testimony of the Book of Mormon or whatever. And I came across this guy, Greg Trimble, on the website there, and he starts out, "So you think the Book of Mormon is a fraud?" He is affiliated with the LDS Church. "I don't believe that the Lord is a respecter of persons. When they are filled with desire and they want to know the Lord, that's the promise. He will give them that understanding." Now, it doesn't mean that those who get the understanding take it to the end that the Lord wants. But he does help them with that and gives them that understanding. And so I want to go through, he has 11 different things. I want to go through that, and then I'm going to talk about some of those things. So the first thing he says, if you're ever having doubts about the restoration or about Joseph Smith, just read the Book of Mormon and ask yourself these 11 questions. Now, that's what triggered my mind about those ones when I get this letter from somebody. And most of the time, this is the same, and it isn't anything new. They will say, you know, I've done this study, and I know about all the things that Joseph Smith did, and I can't, because of all these kinds of things, I can't believe in the Book of Mormon. That's almost like saying, you know, when you read in the Bible and you read about David and what he did, it's like saying, I can't do that. I can't believe that part of the Bible is true, and I'm going to tear it out and throw it away because of David and his things that he did in his life. That's the same thing. So it's important for us to be filled with desire, a desire to know the truth. Right? And the Lord will hear your prayers if you seek him diligently. So, what was the first one? Could an uneducated boy come up with 531 pages of ancient scripture on his own that was historically accurate and prophetic in nature? That was the question that he posed. Somebody on the surface, they would, you know, they have a lot of rebuttal about some of the things that are recorded here, because you read parts of Malachi, you could read parts of Isaiah in here, and a lot of some of the Gospels of Jesus Christ. You can read some of those things in there. And I'm going to cover a couple of those things and show you the purpose of the Book of Mormon and why it came forth. And some, you know, as you read and try to figure out some of the history back then, and I remember going through this in my life. I remember writing to Brother Bell, Apostle Bell, long ago. A lot of you young people don't even know who he is. You may have heard of him. But when I had questions, I would write to him, and he would write back and answer my questions. Marvin Ely, same way, he would write back and answer my questions. So here I have all the answers, you know, and I've got them in these letters. But guess what? It wasn't in here. It wasn't in here, in the sense of being able to defend myself, to be able to be versed enough to help people to understand that it's a fraud of what they have been told concerning the Book of Mormon. And so I had to be filled with desire to understand the things of God. It wasn't just the Book of Mormon, but it was also the Bible. So that was the first thing. And so now the second thing he said, would it be possible for the boy to understand and include ancient Hebrew literary writing styles such as idioms and chiasmus, some of which weren't even discovered until long after Joseph Smith was gone. Now I put a note to that. Joseph Smith Jr. was 24 years old when the Church of Christ was established in 1813, and when he had his first messages, he was a lot younger than that. But he was filled with desire. He wanted to know the truth, and God worked with him to help him to understand the truth. And it was the plan of God to use him to be an instrument in his hands to bring forth the Book of Mormon. The third thing: how would Joseph Smith have been able to know so much about the Middle East, especially the Arabian Peninsula, where Lehi and his family traveled? The book includes findings in that region that no one had discovered. And these are some of the things that you can find from Brother Don's inserts. His book that he referenced out here is that there are lots of evidence about that. When they left Jerusalem and went along the Arabian Peninsula and the descriptions there, and then when they finally ended up at Darfur, I want to give you a little bit. Here's the note. There was a man called Bertram Thomas of Britain in 1928. So that was a long time after the Book of Mormon came out. All right? And he described his Omani experiences while serving as a wazir, it was a minister in the Sultan's court. He said of the mountains of Darfur, What a glorious place, mountains 3,000 feet high, basking above a tropical ocean, their seaward slopes velvety with waving jungles, their roofs fragrant with yellow meadows. And if you can continue on reading, it tells you about the honey that was there, about the milk, about the animals that were there. It was a plentiful place. That's why you read in the Book of Mormon, 1 Nephi, the 5th chapter, and verses 62-67, they called it the place of bountiful. This is after 8 years of traveling from Jerusalem. They traveled all along that route, and they ended up over here in Darfur. So you say, well, where the heck is that, right? So I got a map for you. So it's all this yellow part, right? All this yellow part over here is where they traveled, this whole area along the Indian Ocean, okay? It was a very, no one knew about that. In our culture, our world, this was not known to us until till that man first went there and went through that and wrote a book. And I had the book's name on there. But this is the area where if you follow the writings in the Book of Mormon, they ended up. And they stayed there for a time. And that's where Nephi, he built a boat that his family could get on that boat and go across the ocean to come to the Americas according to the promises of God. Now, when I'm giving you these things, these were some of the things I remember at 16 years old, Brother Bell sitting in my kitchen, my father and mother's kitchen, and he had this three-ring binder, and he had all these beautiful pictures of these ancient findings that were spoken of in the Book of Mormon that he had pictures of that I could see. And it started to thrill my heart, and it helped me to begin to be filled with desire to know more. I spent 3 years in Germany, 10, 11, and 12. And I loved it over there because I could touch and feel all the ancient history of the Romans and knew that there was something greater than what we knew in the United States. So when I got into high school and we were, world history, a lot of people go, oh my gosh, world history. Whew, that's something I don't even want to touch. But it thrilled me. It thrilled me because I could see the connection in the scripture. And I wanted to know more. That's why I wanted, because many of that just kind of substantiates those things that the Bible and the Book of Mormon talk about the people and about the plan of God. So, the Book of Mormon, the fourth one he had, he says, how could Joseph Smith come up with roughly 200 names in the Book of Mormon and then have them turn out to be Semitic in nature? Now, you can go on the website, so you can look at the different websites about this particular thing. Now, the Mormon Church have a lot of well-educated men and women that have done a lot of research in linguistics and all these different things, and they talk about these things. And then there's others that come in and say maybe it's not it. But I want you to understand, I don't want you to base your belief on the Book of Mormon because of these things. Now, for this person, he understood some of those things that, in those teachings, that he can find the evidence and he believes it. And I believe that we do find those things. But if you're believing your whole base of Book of Mormon on that, you're going to be challenged. And that's not where I want you to go. Okay? But there's nothing wrong with that, because there are evidence that this is true, a true statement. If you think Joseph Smith couldn't have written this book, then where did it come from? If one says the devil put him up to it, then why should Satan want to publish another testament of Jesus Christ and a book that does nothing but promote righteousness? Jesus said that a house divided against itself would fall. And I can see that reasoning, and that I understand that, because this book it came forth as an added testament to the Gospels that you find in the Bible. It was to come forth to give it as another testament that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. So, the sixth one was, who were the other sheep that would hear Jesus' voice in John 10:16? I added this scripture that you can find in the Book of Mormon. Here Christ is with them, and he's talking to them, and he said, you know, you are the other sheep that I told them in Israel. But you know, they never asked. They assumed. They assumed that they were talking about another people, maybe the Gentiles. They assumed that. And what a grave mistake, because what did Christ say? He said if they had asked, they would have known that there were others that I was going to go see. They didn't, so I didn't tell them. But he says, now I'm telling you that I am the one that it was spoken of, that I was going to go, and you are the people that I was talking about. And guess what? And verily, verily, I say unto you that I have other sheep, which are not of this land, neither the land of Jerusalem, neither in any parts of that land round about, whether I have ministered to minister. So he's saying there's more. And when you read there, he says, you know, I've got to go. My father is telling me I can't stay here any longer. I've got to go to those other sheep. I have to go. So what's the first thing in my mind when he says those things? And that he did visit to those other people. Well, what do you think is in my mind? I want to know about those things. And that promise is to us. We were talking a little bit about it here in Sunday school. That if we would apply our faith, those sealed records that did not come forth, that were in the hands of Joseph Smith, that were sealed up long ago before he ever was, about some of these things, the workings of Jesus Christ among his people will come forth. But they will come forth from the Gentiles unto the lost tribes of Israel. But that's for us. That is for us. He's talking. He's talking to us. Are we filled with desire enough to know and want to know more? That we apply our faith? That maybe as you grow up, Caleb, the Lord calls you and that you are a special witness to that end? Who knows? Are you limiting yourself? Are you limiting yourself to the possibility of God working with you? Do you want to be another Ruth? It's not. The Lord will use those that are filled with desire for his purposes and for his children, man or woman. 7. Why are there volumes of books written by non-LDS authors stating that Christ came and visited the Americas a couple thousand years ago, just like he says in 3 Nephi? See, example, he walked the Americas. How many people heard about that book, He Walked the Americas? Oh, good. Now, good. I'm glad to see your hand. You young people, you need to read that book because it's a testimony about Jesus Christ working with those people. And he spoke to them. And it was carried down through generation and generation. And a lot of things they have forgotten because of transgression. But the one thing they did keep is some of those things. And it's recorded in this, He Walked the Americas. That's just one book of many. Number 8, if we have the stick of Judah, the record of the Jews or the Bible, then where is the stick of Joseph that is referenced in Ezekiel 37, 15 through 20? That's just one of many different things speaking about the Book of Mormon. In Isaiah, the 29th chapter, it talks about the marvelous work and the wonder, that thing that many of you have already been baptized into. And the marvelous work and wonder was for the second time he was going to reclaim his people. And this is part of that story, the Book of Mormon, the house of Israel. Number 9, how could there be so many witnesses of the Book of Mormon and the plates and not one of them denied their testimony, even when some of them became bitter towards Joseph Smith? With so many people involved, a hoax of this magnitude could never go uncovered. I put a note down there that the testimony of the 3 and the testimony of the 8 witnesses actually held and saw and felt the records. Now, the sad thing is in our history, and one of the reasons why that occurred, what he's talking about here, and this is part of the things that we have to deal with, because men will sin no matter what. And so there were some things that were coming in the church at the time when Joseph Smith was there, and some of the original 3 witnesses of the Book of Mormon, they were actually pushed out of the church. But they never recanted their testimony. Now the world will use it, Satan uses it, say, see how stupid it is to believe in this book. Look at what they did. But the promise was once it was restored, it will never be overcome. Okay? And that's why you have the Church of Christ today. That strove throughout that time and period to push out, to get rid of those things that were coming into the church that was not part of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You need to understand your history and why, so that you can have that foundation. So when somebody gives you grief about some of these things, you could either explain it to them, or you can say, well, you know, if you don't want to listen, that's fine. I know why I believe, why I trust in these things. I'm not putting my trust in a man, because a man can fail. And Joseph Smith, in ways, did fail. But don't ever forget the faith that he had and the gift that he had to bring this book, to be that prophet at that time, using those instruments of God to bring forth the Book of Mormon. He fulfilled the thing in which God had him to fulfill. And that's important to remember. Number 10, how could the Book of Mormon never contradict itself while being an extremely complex book? After all these years, someone would have found something, but no. Now they do, there are people that try to show the conflicts between the Book of Mormon and the Bible. But all of the studies and the cross-references that I've endeavored to do from the beginning, I had that desire to know and to read and to see the evidence of it. God, time after time after time after time, links those things between the two records. And it's beautiful. There is not one person that could sit down and write something that could do that. It was by the power of God. Being taught to two different groups with the plates of brass, which was part of the five books of Moses and some of the prophets, they had those records as well. So then he says, and the most important question to ask yourself is, how do I feel while I read the Book of Mormon? Now, I'm not one that likes to go, I don't like that word feel, and there's a reason for it. A lot of the non-denominational Christians, they base their belief on feel. How they feel, joy. How they feel, oh, Lord's great. How they feel, you know, it's something that the world uses. If you are not feeling good, then, you know, there's a problem. Feelings, this has nothing really to have an understanding of. These really goes beyond that word feel. I can't tell you how many times that I'd be reading in the Bible or the Book of Mormon and reading along, and the Spirit of the Lord rests upon me and gives me perfect understanding of what I was reading. That's that confirmation that what I'm reading is of God, not of man. And that's the thing I'm trying to emphasize to you. It's not a feeling. The promise is that the Spirit of God will help you to understand these things if you are what? Filled with desire, wanting to know. Our sister, all her life, was looking for the truth, her testimony. And I know there's others in here that had the same thing. Out of all the different churches, we are a minuscule little ant on a huge anthill. How is it that God brought her here to become a part of the body of Christ? She was filled with desire to know. And God recognized that and brought her. No different with me. No different with some of you others that have that same testimony. God, he respects people who have a desire. Think about it in the Book of Mormon, all the different ones. Nephi, when his father told him about that dream he had, did Nephi say, okay, I believe it, and we're okay? Is that what he did? No. That's not what he did. What did he do? He went to God and asked him if these things were right, and that he could see those same things. And God gave him that. Jacob and Enos and many others who did the same thing. They were filled with desire, wanting to know the truth. And God honored that. And that's with each one of you, okay? You could be, that can be part of your life. And he will answer that. And he will work with you in your life. So why the Book of Mormon? 1 Nephi 3, 192. And the angel spake unto me, saying, these last records, which thou hast seen among the Gentiles, will do what? Shall establish the truth of the first, which are the 12 apostles of the Lamb, and shall make known the plain and precious things which have been taken away from them. I'm going to give you a few examples of what that means. But that's the purpose. That's the purpose of it. Now, let's go to this. The title, More Blessed Are They, but let's read this first one. Therefore, blessed are ye. And Jesus was speaking to those he was standing in front of, okay? When he visited them of those other sheep. He was here in the Americas. If ye shall believe in me and be baptized after that you have seen me and know that I am. So no different than when Christ was working with those in Israel, his death and resurrection, they saw the resurrected Christ. They felt the prince. Every one of them was given a testimony. And he even said, you know, you're blessed. But you know, more blessed are those that will believe without seeing all these things, but to believe the testimonies that you will bear. All right, so let's look at this. And again, do you want to be more blessed? And again, more blessed are they which shall what? Believe in your words. These words. That's what he is saying. Do you want to be more blessed? Then you better open this book and find out what it's all about. And you will be more blessed if you're filled with desire and wanting to know. Because that ye shall testify that ye have seen me and that ye know that I am. And throughout all this book, God appeared to the different ones. They saw him. They testified. They wrote it. That they had that relationship and saw Jesus Christ. So, and what's the next step? What's the next step? So you saw 47 and 48, verses 47 and 48. Now this is 49, verse 49. Yea, blessed are they which shall believe in your words and do what? And come down into the depths of humility and be baptized, for they shall be visited with fire and with the Holy Ghost, and shall receive a remission of your sins. That's the commission. That's the commission. Christ taught it. He was the example that we have in the stick of Judah. He said it will fulfill all righteousness, and he said it again in more plain terms. If you want to be blessed. If you want to be blessed and you believe these words, you would come down in humility and you allow yourself to be baptized. And then that beautiful promise, you'll be visited with fire and with the Holy Ghost. The fire is the cleansing. That's what that means. To be able to be forgiven and be made clean by the blood of the Lamb. Now, does that mean you'll stay clean throughout your life? No. Because he says you'll have the gift of the Holy Ghost. And when you make mistakes, he will tell you, you know you're making a mistake. And you need to repent. And put that on the altar, my altar. And my blood will cleanse you again if you keep my commandments. The truth. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. Now he was speaking to a group of people at this time in John in the 8th chapter. If you continue in my word, what does that mean? Meaning be filled with desire to know. You're searching out. You have a desire to know and you're searching it. Then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. And that's the beautiful part about it. Because some, People can bring all kinds of accusations, all kinds of nonsense about Joseph Smith and about the LDS Church. What's the sad thing is that man had a testimony of the Book of Mormon, and yet he didn't take it further. He stopped right there concerning the truth and what it taught. Because the truth did not teach that there would be a president above the 12. The truth did not teach that you would baptize the dead. The truth is that you would not have an eternal marriage. There is no such thing because Christ taught against it. That's the truth. God blessed him with a testimony of the Book of Mormon, but he didn't take it further. He didn't continue in his word. He stopped. Then you are my disciples indeed. That's important to understand. You need to know the truth if you want to continue and be more blessed. You need to follow the commandments of Jesus Christ, and the truth shall make you free. So the example of clarity. Okay, so in the Bible you have Matthew 5:6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Now, a little challenge. I want you to go to the commentaries like Matthew Henry, and you can go to, Albert Barnes or John Gill, any of those, and you read, what does Christ mean about this? What is he talking about, be filled? And they go dance all around the purpose that Christ said this. They don't, Matthew Henry, if you read it, he has pages and he's talking about this. And he really doesn't get there. Okay? And I'll tell you where there is. So when you go in the Book of Mormon, and blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be filled with what? With the Holy Ghost. That's what they will be filled with. They were filled with desire to know the truth. The truth is very evident. The commandments of Jesus Christ, that promise in the 14th chapter of John, I won't leave you comfortless. I will pray to the Father, and you will have another comforter, the gift of the Holy Ghost, which will be resident right here. Jeremiah 31, that prophecy there when he said, you know, there will be a day when I will put my words in the hearts of Israel, meaning that beautiful gift of the Holy Ghost. They won't ever have to go to another temple and see where God is. God will be resident within you and within me. That was the promise. So another example of clarity. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, ye shall have them. Doesn't that sound like a lot of the new churches today? Hey, all you have to do, you believe and you pray about it. I want this yacht. And God promises it that, right? Or I want this big house, or I need this great job. It says right there, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that ye receive them and you shall have them. Think about all the false teachings that come from that. From that one statement alone that you find in the Bible. Oh, the words of Christ, they're in red. That's what he said. And they base their truth on all this, right? So, but what did the Book of Mormon do for us? Now, I only put part of this. The first part of this paragraph has to do with being deceived by Satan, okay? I didn't have enough room to put it all, but then he finishes it up. And whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, what? Which is right, which is expedient to your spiritual well-being. That's what he's saying. Believing that you shall receive, behold, it shall be given unto you. What a beautiful promise. Is it expedient unto us to know the things of God and how we can have eternal life with him, to live in his kingdom to come? Well, sure it is. You think he'll say, nah, you don't need to know that. That's not Christ. He wants you to know. He wants you to come to him. He wants you to come to him based on the example that he gave. of being baptized, he who was righteous. He did all things the Father asked him to do. So it was expedient from the Father that Jesus Christ was baptized. It was expedient that he taught those things that the Father gave him to teach the children of men, that it might be written for our well-being. It was expedient to the Lord that there would be those who exercised their faith and kept a record over hundreds of years, and that that record would be in our hands today. And it's expedient for us to understand the beauty of that and to apply it in our lives. The conclusion. Now I, Moroni, and I cut out some of it, would exhort you that when you shall receive these things, when you have an opportunity, because it goes in there and talks about, if you have that opportunity to come in, just like Katie, she had an opportunity to be introduced to this. And so this thing was applicable to her. Would exhort you that when you read these things, that means you got to open the book and you got to start reading. That you would ask God, the Eternal Father, in the name of Christ, if these things are not true. Filled with desire to know. Filled with desire to allow God to give you that, to give you that understanding. If these things are not true. And if you shall ask with a sincere heart, and with real intent, filled with desire, having faith in Christ, it's expedient for us. It's expedient from him for us to know these things. And it's right to ask. With real intent, having faith in Christ, he will manifest the truth of it unto you by the power of the Holy Ghost. So does the Holy Ghost just work with those that are baptized and they give the gift? No, he works with all the children of men. That John, in the book of John, the 14th chapter, he's very plain. Another comforter, meaning something that was going to be with you as a beautiful gift to understand these things of God. The only way that mankind can understand the things of God is by way of his Spirit. That's it. Katie understood that because, forgive me, Katie, I'm sorry. But as a current example, all her life there was something missing. She wanted to have that relationship with God, and God blessed her and continued to work with her in her life. And guess what? He dropped her right here to know the fullness of the gospel. And she's not alone. There's others. But the intent that we have, that I have in my heart, because I love this book and I love this book, and when I put them together, it's a beautiful story. And there's lots of pieces of that puzzle that are for us to understand. Now, God has given me understanding of some of those pieces, and I'm the kind of guy, I want to see them. I want to see all those pieces like Nephi. I want to see the things that my father saw. And guess what? Because he did that, we have more understanding of that beautiful dream that his father had that he didn't say and didn't tell his family. Nephi did. He helped to explain them. You can read it in the 5th chapter of 1 Nephi. He explained that to his brothers and even to his mother and others that were there with him, because he was given that beautiful experience. I hope and pray you don't think I've been yelling at you. I have been. I'm excited. I want you to be filled with the Spirit of God. I want you to have that desire to know. I don't want you to allow that thing that kindles in your heart to fade. So that one day I get a letter saying, I can't believe in this book because Joseph Smith believed in polygamy. Joseph Smith had many wives, so I can't believe this book. Joseph Smith used the sign of the Masons, and so that means he didn't believe in the things that he wrote. There's hundreds of thousands of things that Satan brings to destroy. You need to know the truth. And you need to have what? You need to have a testimony. You need to read and ask the Lord. At 16 years old, it was pointed out to me by Apostle Bell, you need to read it and ask the Lord, and he'll give you that understanding, and he did. Does that mean that I continued in that way? No. But I was able to stand on that foundation as much as possible, and he continued to work with me even in my wickedness and brought me here and called me into the ministry that I might speak to you even this day and tell you that the testimony is true and that God will forgive sin and can, and he does. And don't ever forget that. Don't ever allow yourself to get to a point that I can't forgive. No way can I forgive this. Don't go there. Because the power of God through his Son, Jesus Christ, can forgive all sin. All sin. That's his desire in his heart, to forgive you. But you have to come unto him in humility and in contriteness, seeking the blood of the Lamb, understanding that he died that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And that's a beautiful thing called forgiveness. And then you start to understand the pure love of Christ, that charity. So may God bless you in these things. I encourage you young people. I encourage you not so young people. You need to be filled with desire to know and continue throughout your life, so that when that time comes when you come to the end of your life, you can go to him. You know you'll return to the God who created you. You will stand before him. Actually, you're probably kneeling. And in my own mind, I'll have a whole bunch of tears, even when in my spirit, I'll have a whole bunch of tears. I picture myself, you know, bathing his feet with my tears, just as Mary Magdalene did long ago, because she was forgiven. Because she was forgiven, she was the first one to see the resurrected Christ. Don't forget that. Forgiveness is very important. May God bless you in these things.
Thank you, Brother Gordon. I'd encourage us to ponder these things that our brothers brought to us this day. We're going to close our service now with the use of number 274. 274. Shall we stand as we sing? Bow your heads with me, please. Our kind and gracious Father, as we come to the close of this service, we're indeed thankful for your many blessings. We're thankful for the words our brother has brought to us this day. And I pray, Father, that each of us may seek Thee, that our heart's desire would be to serve Thee, to discover Your Word, and to have a testimony of Your goodness in our life and the truthfulness of Your gospel. I pray this day for the many needs of Your people, both physical and spiritual.